Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, by whose hand we are given new birth, by whose speaking we are given new life. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are welcomed, restored, and supported as citizens of the new creation. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and mighty, you are the river of life, you are the everlasting wellspring. In mercy and might, you have freed us from death and raised us with Jesus, the firstborn of the dead. In baptismal waters, our old life is washed away, and in them we are born anew. Glory to you for the oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for waters that wash us clean, quench our thirst, and nurture both crops and creatures. Praise to you for the life-giving water of baptism, the outpouring of the Spirit of the new creation. If you'll look at the screen up ahead, we'll repeat. Satisfy the world's need through this living water, where drought dries the earth, bring refreshment. Where despair prevails, grant hope. Where chaos reigns, bring peace. We ask this through Christ, who with you and the Spirit reigns forever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. The first reading this morning is from Acts, the second chapter. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 116 responsively with me. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish.
Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life.
What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. The second reading is from 1 Peter, the first chapter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile, you know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God, the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What are you discussing with each other while you walk along? They stood still looking sad. One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? He asked him. What things, he replied. The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The gospel of our Lord. Start off today with fear. Martin Luther, back in his time, stepped way out of his comfort zone. He made some bold statements, challenged some important people, and some very influential people. Yet, people still listened and eventually followed in his belief and his teachings. Towards the beginning of time, Abraham also challenged some very influential people. He challenged the Jews, fought the Roman guards, etc. And him and his wife went out on their own to do what God told them to do, in fear of him. Here in Acts, Peter, who was told to call out to the Jews and all of Judea and anyone else to explain what had happened and what the people were to do now that the Messiah had been crucified. Again, in 1 Peter, the very first verse we read says, "If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile." Throughout all the scriptures, God is to be this fearful God. Now, if you ask me if something is fearful or is to be feared, I would stay away from it or avoid it at all costs. I know you all have something that you're in fear of or try to avoid. Me, I have many. A loud banging noise. I'm afraid of heights. People sneaking up behind me. And most importantly, the future for my grandkids. Some of these things I can't avoid, but then there's some that I cannot. So my confusion is, why would I want to love a God, trust a God, have faith in a God, or anything like that when I am to fear him? This has been a question and a problem for me for a long time. It's been sitting in the back of my mind, brewing. And recently I was doing some readings, and for some reason, it just clicked. The answer to that question was right there in front of me. We've all had that question that we dwelled on for a long time, and then out of the clear blue, for no reason at all, the answer just came. And it came like a firecracker under our feet that went bang. Scared the bejesus out of me, and it just was like a neon light. God uses the word fear to tell us that we should live our lives here on earth in fear. Or otherwise put, live our lives with respect to God. That is, to respect God, to love God, honor Him, and obey Him. Praise Him just like we would our own parents. Now, when I was a young boy, I feared my father. I don't know about many of you, but I sure did. I especially feared him when I got into trouble. When he worked real late and I was already in bed, he'd come home, I'd hear that door close, I'd hear mom and him talking just for a short minute, then I'd hear the footsteps come down the hallway, because we didn't have carpet, we had hardwood floors. So I knew where he was headed. He'd open up that bedroom door and pretend to wake me up because I was, you know, I heard him coming, so I was trying to be asleep so he wouldn't wake me up, but sure enough, he did anyway. He asked what I did. Even if I lied to him, it wouldn't help because he already knew what had happened. So I'd tell him what I thought he wanted to hear, and in the process, the famous noise that most of us all have heard before. The belt sliding through the pant loops. Yeah, ooh. At that point, it's over. The fear really kicked in. The belly started rumbling. The sweat started happening. All that came out after that was, "I'm sorry, Daddy." Hoping that it wouldn't hurt too bad. Then he proceeds with, same thing as most of your dads probably said too. "Son, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you." And from the chuckles, I'm sure you've all heard it too then. I thought in that moment, how is that possible? There's no way. I'm feeling the pain, not you. But I didn't want to say that too loud because I knew it was going to happen. I was going to get it worse. Now, being a father and a grandfather, I now know what he meant. All he wanted from us was a little respect, some discipline, and love from us. And when we denied him that, you deny your parents that. That's what he meant when he says, it hurts me more than it's going to hurt you. Because you denied your own father a little respect, a little love, a little discipline. Think about that a minute. That's what that meant. If God was to use a belt on us every time we did something wrong, think about that too. But he has a lot of grace for all of us. He forgives us all. If we did something wrong, disrespected him, or denied him in any way, and trust me, with my past, I'd be bruised, battered, and probably who knows what by now. But I can tell you this, it would not be pretty. Respected, loved, I think that's what my dad wanted, and that's all that God asked for too. And I think that's the same as God wants us to fear him, is for that reason. He wants us to respect, love, honor, trust, and obey him while we're on this earth. After all, we're just passing through here. So, in 1 Peter, there was three different parts to understand. The first verse was verse 17. It introduces the fear with the command to live in fear of him. The second part is verses 18 and 19, and it sets the main body of that fear, the redemption, which has been accomplished through the shedding of the blood of Christ on the cross. And finally, the verses 20 and 21, the basis for that fear, the work of the Father in our salvation. And with these readings, along with the fear, is the blindness of our actions at times. Do we live with the foresight of tunnel vision, or like a horse with blinders on? Or do we do our daily walks with an open mind, open heart, and without blinders on? One great example would be like before 2020. We went through life as usual. We took most things we did and the people that we did not see for granted. Life for us, well, for most of us, was grand, or so we thought. Everything went on like a normal day, just like life should. Then, without much of a notice at all, the whole country shut down like a factory on Friday at closing time. People from all over were lost, confused, scared, angry, and any other emotion you can think of, all because of this little microscopic virus now had taken over the world. And there was nothing we could do about it. No stores were open, no shopping malls, no restaurant, nothing. We weren't even supposed to visit family because of this little thing. I think shortly after is when reality kicked in and most of us realized that we've been living with blinders on and taking advantage of what we had. Now that our lives have forever changed, I hope the blinders have come off, the tunnel vision is a much wider range, and we see life in a different way. I know I do. Multiple times I've had the misfortune of having blinders on and been smacked, if you will, to have them removed. Most of you have heard me talk about my past. A few different times you can see where my blinders were on. As you know, I have limited visibility. And at one point, I even gave up on everything because I had no job, no driving privileges, no money, nothing. Then I was told about a blind rehab facility at the VA clinic in Cleveland. So I gave it a try with skepticism. And after 7 weeks of living up there, learning how to live, maneuver, accept the way of life, and then after a year, I was still struggling a little bit. I went up there for 4 more weeks. And that was more of a psychological and emotional part of living, because I still couldn't accept it. I was having troubles. And for me, that was truly an eye-opening experience. Imagine having something so important taken away from you, and all of a sudden, without knowing it, it reappears, and you don't even see it right in front of you until somebody happens to point it out to you. These two disciples walking to Emmaus was being visited by this man and not recognizing him until he gives a blessing. Now, that's a little confusing. How could they not recognize him? I know if my mom or my dad was to come back and I was walking down the road and they were to speak to me, I know I'd recognize them, if nothing else, by at least their voice. You know, so that'd be a shocker. This would lead me to believe that these two men weren't physically on this walk back to Emmaus from Jerusalem. I think it was more of a spiritual walk. I say spiritual because since they were talking about him, he showed his presence. But since there was doubt in their minds, he hid his appearance from them. Jesus continued to walk, and he walked with them and let them talk. He let them talk in order to let them explain their pains and anxieties and give them time to mourn as they walked. Their emotions were probably all over the place, and with what had just happened and not knowing what was next for them, or anyone else for that matter. So when they stopped for the night and before they ate, when Jesus blessed the meal and the two men's eyes were opened and realized who had been with them, it was an eye-opening experience for them too. The walk to Emmaus offers today's disciples a parallel opportunity to discover Christ, to rediscover Christ's presence in their lives, to gain fresh understanding of God's transforming grace, and to form friendships that foster faith and support spiritual growth. The two men who meet the resurrected King resurrects them, and they end up with heartburn. Their stomachs were on fire like no tongues could ever quench. As we reflect today, troubled hearts must not stay in each of us. God assures us that our sins have been forgiven through his crucifixion. Thus, we should be at peace, commit ourselves to trust the Lord, and rejoice and be glad of his resurrection. In closing, I would like to say many of us have come to church Sunday after Sunday, and each week we get heartburn, and some of us don't know why. When our hearts are burning, the Spirit is talking to us. Let us know what we heard and taught is faithful and true, and we should act on that. If we leave here with heartburn, do something about it. Don't ignore it. The two men didn't ignore it. They got up, went back to Jerusalem, and told the disciples what had happened. When you see or hear Jesus, we should fear him. Take off our blinders and tell everyone what you just witnessed and be glad in it. Amen.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need.
Ever-present God, you make yourself known in the breaking of the bread and in the bonds of community. Reveal yourself to us in the faces of all we meet. Strengthened by your body and blood, let us boldly live out your good news. Hear us, O God.
As we know you in the breaking of the bread, we know you in the grains of the field and the flowing waters. Care for the earth you lovingly create. Strengthen those who safeguard threatened land and water. Hear us, O God.
You are the authority to whom we dedicate our lives and to whom we commemorate today. Help us keep the needs of those most vulnerable at the forefront of our community. Move us to care for any who are discredited or oppressed. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Mothering God, you feed and comfort those who hunger. Open the hearts of those who hoard resources and lead them to share your abundance. We pray for anyone hungering for your comforting presence this day, especially Karen, Janet, Joy, Stephanie, Jean, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Heidi, Kate, Bill, Kim, Katie, Deanne, Linda, Patty, Tim, Ed, Wilma, those touched by and those that support FLC outreach ministries, and those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. And for all healthcare workers who care for them, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You pour out your love on those who are oppressed. Support and comfort anyone who is marginalized and those whose stories are not believed. Form this community to listen faithfully and speak honestly in our ministry together. Hear us, O God.
Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace.
Thank you.
Generous God, in this meal you offer your very self. We give thanks for these gifts of the earth in the breaking of this bread. Reveal to us the risen one in the pouring of this wine, pouring us out in service to the world through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God.
Give thanks and praise.
By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts. Freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile. Wisdom for life with you, for your word of life, O God.
We give you thanks and praise.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love, for your word of life, O God.
We give you thanks and praise.
Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of the world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you for the word of life, O God.
Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
At this time, we are going to do the announcements. I'm just keeping up with the way Sean's been doing it, because that's what he asked for. So until somebody tells him differently, I've told him multiple times, that's not the way we do it here. And he laughs at me and says, go away. But anyway, there will be an outreach and evangelism meeting this Wednesday at 4:30. It'll be out here in the gathering area. Next Sunday, worship will be at 10 o'clock at Peace Lutheran Church. It's a combined service, just so everybody knows. If you have any questions or if you forget, look in your newsletter or your whatever you get in the mail or on email later this week as a reminder. Also, we are in need of volunteers for the Spring Safety Day. It is May 20th. It's a Saturday, and it's from noon to 5, I think. I'm pretty sure. Yes, thank you. We have a lot of things going on, and we need a lot of help. I think as far as material and equipment stuff, we're on track with all that. We need bodies. We have a lot of things going on. We're going to have a lot of kids, a lot of families. We need some bodies to help with that and a lot of people to help with direction so we don't get, we don't lose kids. You know, that's the biggest thing. We don't want to lose kids. We don't want kids getting hurt. After all, this is a safety day. So, and Dick, you had an announcement.
Week from this coming Thursday, that is Thursday, May 4th, is the National Day of Prayer. And I'm sure you can all agree that our country needs its prayers. We are having a service out at Candlewood at 7 p.m. It's open to everyone. Although Candlewood is a gated community, there will person at the gate that will let you in. So Thursday, May 4th at 7 o'clock at the Cannonwood Lodge is the National Day of Prayer. Thank you.
All right. And one last announcement. During worship service and stuff, if anybody is interested in helping out with anything, make sure you look at the board out there and sign up wherever's needed. I took a lot of time to set all that up. And make sure you look at that fire hydrant out there. I used a magnifying glass to get every little detail so the lines look perfect. No, actually Mel did all that, and Marty did that too, so I had to give him a hard time this morning earlier, so I thought I'd just keep it going. So you had an announcement?
I have a box sitting out here. Jam is getting low on construction paper, cardstock paper, and colored markers. And we could use a donation for that, so that way I don't have to pay that much money to purchase it.
All right. Anybody else have any announcements? All right. If you'll stand. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.